This is Method Man of the Mighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chilling. Jalen and Jacoby, man. They gave these dudes a show.
It's Jalen. Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm still David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we are Jalen Jacoby, even in the quarantine. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The NBA is taking one baby step closer to giving the people what they want. The latest report is that this Friday, the NBA will allow certain franchises to open up their practice facilities with some pretty strict restrictions. But Jalen, am I just so thirsty for basketball that I take this as like a little bit of a win, like a little bit of a, yeah, we might get basketball this summer?
Not only is this a win, it's a big time step in progress, acknowledging that our country is being unlocked. Now, however, this isn't because the curve of the pandemic that we call the coronavirus has been relegated or controlled, but it does acknowledge certain states have eased restrictions. And if you live in one of those states, it's hard for the league to then legislate underneath that teams can't open their facilities. And I know certain teams that are in states that have not eased restrictions are going to feel like they're getting an unfair advantage, but that's just kind of how it's working right now in the country. Certain areas are looser with their restrictions than others.
Yeah. I love the idea that the Hawks were one of the first teams that were talked about sort of opening up their facility and practicing. And the Hawks were like, nah, we're good. Like, no, we're fine. We don't need to come back this season. Let's save all that practice for teams that still have some basketball to play. We're good on this season, Commissioner, but thank you so much for the opportunity. Now we look at the schedule and maybe next season we'll start at Christmas and maybe we'll get some basketball playoff action this summer, which leads to one question, which I found very interesting that was raised to the GM of the Nets, Sean Marks. Will Kevin Durant be available to them in the playoffs this season if there were games in July or August? And he said that is the $110 million question. So if Kevin Durant called your phones, I know you guys talk every day, burner accounts and all, and he said, Jalen, should I come back this season? What advice would you give him?
Definitely do not return. I was a loud voice that knew somebody at the workout Friday prior to when Kevin Durant returned to the NBA Finals. That evening, I went on countdown and said, Kevin Durant ain't ready to play. And I know he's going to be in the starting lineup, and I know he's going to give it a go, and I'm rooting for him to stay healthy, but he's not ready. And I believe if they were up versus trailing in the series, he wouldn't have came back at that point. He comes back, he gets injured. It's the NBA Finals. You don't now, in theory, in an abbreviated end of season, postseason, going into next season, and now you're going to try to return from an Achilles injury. Don't play this season at all. You don't know if Kyrie is going to be healthy. You know I want the season to be reset scheduling-wise. Not best for the players. You can't spend time with your kids in the summer. But to me, it's best for business if the league started operating in November. And this is probably what's going to happen with next season if they can complete this season.
Well, as someone who's been quarantined in a small apartment with three children, we're spending plenty of time with the kids. Right now, I'm sure all NBA players are spending plenty of time.
Your apartment ain't small. Don't try to downplay it. You got houses
to be quarantined in. Now, Jalen. Obviously with The Last Dance in full swing, we've gotten to relive some of our favorite moments from 90s basketball, and Patrick Ewing plays a large role in those. And he was also on a couple of gold medal winning teams, and he said that he had both of his gold medals stolen from him. And I was thinking, who in the world would steal something from Patrick Ewing? Like, who would be so down low to steal something from Patrick Ewing? And then I remembered, oh, that's right. Jalen Rose stole something from Patrick Ewing. Jalen, did you also steal his gold medals?
What had happened was P.E. Crazy P. Shout out to the OG. When he saw me doing college game day at a Wizards game, Actually, it was a Georgetown game. He's playing in the Wizards Arena. He put me in the headlock about his TV. Jeff Van Gundy always messed with me because he was the assistant who was responsible on the road to make sure that players got those televisions, except since Indiana and the Knicks were rivals and we both were traveling on the same night. I went to the airport and saw a TV with Patrick Ewing's name on it. TV VCR combo. I called Riz real fast. We taking this to the crib. And I kept it at the crib for years, Jacoby. All pride. All pride.
You know what? I love Riz so much. You know, because I know what it's like to be close to you. A lot of requests, a lot of complaints. You got Riz shot. You made Riz complicit in stealing Patrick Ewing's television. Riz is a real ride or die. Big shout out to Riz. God, I love you, Riz. When we come back, me and Jalen aren't the only one looking at the Texans moving. DeAndre Hopkins like, really? Huh? We'll tell you who the latest is to question the move right after this.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
No longer coming to you live from Pier 17 at the Seaport, but still giving the people what they want and brought to you by Heineken and Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, for weeks now, you and I have still scratched our heads at the idea that the Texans not only traded DeAndre Hopkins, but didn't get much back for him. And we're not alone. When J.J. Watt was asked about the trade, you know, he just said it was above his pay grade. Now, Jalen, to me, him saying it's above my pay grade, go ask somebody else about it, is not exactly support for the roster moves that the Texans made in the offseason. What do you think about this statement? That's kind of a non-statement from J.J. Watt.
So you're a Texas football fan. The last couple of years, you lost Tyrann Mathieu. He went on to win a Super Bowl. You lost Jadeveon Clowney. He wreaks havoc on the league. You lost DeAndre Hopkins. And you continue to have a Deshaun Watson who is really baffled by the fact that you traded his receiver for no apparent reason. His contract wasn't up. Like, it's one thing if he had a contractual demand, Jacoby, and it was expired to the point where it was the final year or he was going to hold out or they didn't have the leverage. They got the leverage. And so for him to make a move like that, like I've been telling you, J.J. Watt, the money that he getting on the defensive line, he'll be there. Now, Deshaun Watson, in order for him to re-up, in my opinion, it's going to be between he and Bill O'Brien. You can't tell me two Clemson homies that was receiver and quarterback ain't on the text. You can't tell me that they're not. I know that for a fact they better be. And I'm pretty sure that's one of the things that's going back and forth.
Absolutely. And it's not a mistake when Deshaun Watson comes out and wears a Dolphins t-shirt in Miami to a workout before the Dolphins drafted Tua. I mean, you just don't wear another team's shirt. That's just not how it works.
You're just letting them know if they didn't want to.
Well, you got traded so many times. I'm sure you still had some team issued stuff from your other teams. You know, so while you were on the Suns, you were still wearing
houses in other states. What are you talking about? Here.
Jalen. It is now
I was
time.
In Toronto, and I still had a spot in Chicago and Indiana.
So, Jalen, Dana White is like, you know what? I'm going to give the people what they want. We're going to have a fight, and there is a big fight coming up from two of the most entertaining fighters in the UFC, Tony Ferguson, who is just a joy to watch, and Justin Gaethje. And me and Justin Gaethje have something in common. I'll explain after I tell you what Gaethje said about the upcoming fight with Ferguson. He said the following, quote, "I hope Tony Ferguson breaks my nose. I've been waiting to get it fixed. It hasn't been right for like 12 years, so I've been waiting for a long time for someone to break my nose, so maybe he'll plant an elbow on there." Now, Jalen.
You were just talking about this yesterday.
You've been staring at this crooked face for the last 9 years, and I also have been waiting for someone in rec league basketball to plant an elbow on there so I can get it fixed. without saying that I got a nose job. You know what I mean? Because I do want to get it straightened. I'm on TV every day. We're going to go to ESPN1. I wouldn't mind having a straight nose, but I really want someone in my rec league to break my nose just so I can straighten this out a little bit. Really hard to breathe, too. Really hard to breathe.
I'm pointing at the person that could break your nose. Iron Mike Tyson. You saw him throwing those shots. He's right over your right shoulder. That's the person that can make it happen for you. I'm telling you, you'll be a terrific opponent, a tomato can, a glass Joe. We need to get you a profile. That's what needs to happen. We got to get you a fight
profile. Now for the fifth day in a row, we're going to run Mike Tyson disrespecting me.
Mike and Tip.
I like that. Because I see Jalen Rose has his little guy with him, Jalen and Jacob.
Right. So
Kobe and Jalen.
So I'll be the little guy.
Tip and Mike. Tip and Tyson.
Tip and Tyson. You dig what I'm saying? I like that.
What is this?
Right there.
What is this?
6'3". No, you're 290. You're a kangaroo. Hella kids. Not just one or two. Bay Area style. Hella. No loyalty to barbers. None. Can't get a cut in a pandemic. Not at all. Put that back up there, please. No loyalty to barbers.
Nothing would make you happier. Nothing would make you happier than watching Mike Tyson punch me in the face.
And
you know what?
We just had to put the word smoke in your profile. That's all. Just had to put the word smoke. Find a professional way to put it in there. Rec League Hoops legend. Look at him with a blazer about to go on around the horn. You would never wear that on this show.
Let me just say there's one thing that's wrong about this is my record is not 0-0. I've lost a couple fights already. You know what I mean? How do you think this nose got inside of my face anyway? How do you think my nose got crooked in the first place? Come on now. You know I don't have a winning record. 0-0. Please. Well, Jalen.
Can't wait till Tyson come on the show.
When we come back, we have some very special statue news. So we'll bring in the senior statue analyst, Jalen Anthony Rose. Stay tuned. Jalen Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, there are a few things that I know that you love. Your family, lobster, basketball, hip-hop, and statues. So we have statue news. Jalen is one of the best NBA analysts on the planet, just general sports analysts on the planet, but the absolute best, number one authority on all statues. So we bring in the senior statue analyst, Jalen Anthony Rose. Senior statue analyst, Jalen, one of your former teammates, Mark Jackson, was demanding for a Reggie Miller statue in Indianapolis. Now, you played in Indianapolis for quite some time, some of your best basketball there, and you were teammates with both of these people. Why is there no Reggie Miller statue? And if there is, what should it look like?
There should absolutely be a Reggie Miller statue in front of the arena in Indiana. And the player that comes to mind that has equivalents is Dominique Wilkins. Both of those guys put up numbers in their own right, but they played in the wrong era, the Jordan era. And you know what I was thinking? Reggie Miller, Stockton and Malone, Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, all of these great players, Gary Payton, Hall of Fame players.
Patrick Ewing.
Retired without getting rings because they were in the Jordan era. I got a trivia question for you. Definitely he should have a statue to answer your question. LeBron has 3 championships in 17 years. He deserves to be in the Mount Rushmore conversation. What Hall of Fame caliber players has LeBron James kept from winning championship rings during his era?
Well, his era is pretty expansive. And I would say Hall of Famers that he put away. The Celtics kind of got one. A lot of those Raptors finally got one. He joined Dwayne Wade and got one with him. On the West Coast, teams that he beat in the finals kind of all had championships already. So I'm going to say pretty much nobody. But, Jalen, I'm going to ask you a
question. That's the difference between MJ dominance and LeBron James greatness, everyone. Please continue.
Jalen, I'm going to ask you a trivia question now. Do you remember what happened 20 years ago on this very date of May 6th? It was the Eastern Conference semifinals, game 1. The aforementioned Reggie Miller had over 40 points, and so did Jalen Anthony Rose. teammates with over 40 points. Look at that. Exactly 40. My question for you is, did y'all know you were doing this? Like, was this, because you won the game handily. Did you know you were going to get 40 apiece?
So here's what we knew. We were going against our former coach, Larry Brown, who his final season coaching our squad, we didn't make the playoffs. And then the next year, we were in the conference finals playing against Jordan and the Bulls. So this was my first full season starting, and I wanted to do work. I appreciate how the squad, in particular Reggie, was a person that I could learn from, his tireless work ethic, getting into the arena very early, and doing something I didn't always do, and that's play off the ball. I was always like a point guard, point forward. So playing with him, Mark was like, hey, man, y'all both coming off the screen. If Reggie's open 75%, he getting the ball, because I know he going to make it. I'm trying to get assists. We trying to win. So you got to learn to
if
do
you
these
look at that,
and these players and
look
make
at that
plays,
full screen again. If you look at that full screen, I think you're the worst player on that full screen. I think you're the worst teammate to ever score 40 or 40 in a game. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. I'm the worst player on there. We're not done. We're not done.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Jalen, we are one day closer to May 11th. One day closer. One day closer.
One more road to cross.
Every minute that goes by brings us one day closer to 4 p.m. Eastern on May 11th. 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, the flagship. Not ESPN Ocho, not ESPN Plus. Not ESPN 3.
You know what Q was saying? 4 or 5 ninjas in the mothership. That's where we going. To the mothership.
The mothership. The mothership. Oh, man. Just here's what I don't want to have happen. You can't get us canceled day one. You know? You can't get us canceled day one.
But we still got to go to the edge of the pool. Like, we respect all of our colleagues, and there's some amazing shows on the network. But the reason why each person has their own chapter in this ESPN book is that they're different and we're different. That's why it took us longer to get to network.
Exactly. You know what? You always talk about this. So this just little, let me give everybody a little peek behind the curtain on Jalen and I's relationship. He's always calling my phone all times of day, Sundays, night, early morning. Sometimes I wake up, I got 2 missed calls from Jalen. It's like 6:30 in the morning. And he said, we got guerrilla market, dog. We got guerrilla market. We got guerrilla. Network ain't gonna promote us. We got guerrilla market. And so I'm thinking, I think I'm gonna have to fight Mike Tyson. That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna do it for the show.
Yes.
I'm gonna fight Mike Tyson. Yes. We'll do it for charity. I'll get my name out there. I'll get knocked out. I already got concussion problems.
Yes.
You know, I just don't want to I don't want my brain to bleed or something like that.
But
you know?
Here's the
I won't be able to form a sentence for the next month, though.
So you're officially, you know, as a seasoned industry veteran, you have so many titles. You know, as Jay got older, he got so many titles, and same with Puff. Like, you're the minivan capo. You're the originator of Stretch Mark 5. Like, you're a member of the Washington Generals. So I must ask you, you invited the fam to sit front row to MSG for that bout. Are they invited to watch you fight Mike Tyson?
Oh, I'm not even telling my wife I'm doing that. I'm telling her I'm going golfing. Just come back with a black eye. She's like, what happened? I got hit with a golf ball, man. How come you can't move? This big golf ball hits hard. How come you can't get out of bed? Rough round of golf, man. Rough round.
And here's what I want people to not sleep on about that footage of Mike. Yes, he's in his 50s. But as somebody that saw him fight in Las Vegas up close and personal in his prime, he had his fight weight. That's one thing that his trainer didn't say. His weight is down. He in shape. His weight is down. And he ready, Jacoby.
One thing I love about this.
You could be like the old video game. You could be Glass Joe. Glass Jacoby.
I love the idea that this 25-year-old, 26-year-old, 27-year-olds right now getting exposed to the greatness that is Michael Jordan and his run and his prime and watching the actual footage. And I feel like I'm ready for Mike Tyson to do the same. You know what I mean? There's been Tyson docs and there's Tyson mixtapes. There's Tyson greatest knockouts. But I just feel like if you're under 28 right now, just Google Mike Tyson knockout on and hit some YouTube links because, man, I mean, he is as dominant for a period of time as any single athlete has been. You know, I mean, obviously there's dominant athletes all across the board. We all know who they are, Serena and Usain Bolt and Tiger Woods and all that. But like when Mike Tyson was really Mike Tyson in his prime, it was out of control to watch.
But also, Jacoby, I've noticed something. And even people that get paid to talk about sports and those that debate sports, regardless of where you're from and what sport you favor, there's a couple of terms I feel like people use incorrectly. And they are dominant and greatness. Those are two different things. Vastly different. Dominant is meaning you beat me almost every time. That's dominant. Greatness is over a period of time. That's vastly different. So to me, in the 90s, Michael Jordan dominated the NBA. In the six seasons he went to training camp, they won the championship every year. 6 for 6. That's dominance. For me, again, I'm just using this example because people compare the two. LeBron has been in the league 17 seasons. He has won 3 championships. That's greatness. When you look at his points, rebounds, assists, game winners, how he won one in Cleveland, how they beat the Warriors, like all of that is greatness. But dominance stops other players from getting rings. Players that are moving into a Hall of Fame space in the LeBron era, they got rings. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, they got rings. Kawhi Leonard, he got rings.
Okay.
So
all right, hold on a second. Time out. I'm going to get my Jerry Krause on here.
Okay, cool.
We're not talking about those sports I was talking about with tennis and golf and boxing, the individual sports. Franchises win championships, not players. You know, and of course I say that tongue in cheek. I don't mean that. But if you look at the players that were around Patrick Ewing and Sean Kemp and Stockton and Malone, the players that were around them weren't the same. Like Michael Jordan obviously was the single reason that they won. He was the best player, the MVP, the finals MVP, and he was the reason they won those championships. But he had a very good team around him for all 6 of those seasons that you bring up.
The one thing about building around the superstar is that you're taking bits and pieces from their strengths and weaknesses in order to form a squad that is equipped to provide your best player with all the tools needed to get them there. There was a time like LeBron that MJ in the 80s was the best player in the league. He just hadn't won championships yet. Nope. There was a time when LeBron was considered the MVP of the league before he won a championship. So if you look at their stats before they won championships, when you get a chance, compare them. And then compare the two in the years they won championships. There's an elite level of dominance that Michael Jordan kept. Stockton and Malone, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley. He kept all of Clyde Drexler. He kept seven or eight Hall of Famers from actually getting rings. LeBron didn't stop the Celtics or the Pistons from getting rings.
Jay, you know what? See, this is the difference between us is you see it as him stopping Hall of Famers from getting rings, right? And you're absolutely right. But you got to remember, I didn't play in the NBA. I see it as just entire fan bases, cities, states, regions of the country. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, oh, you know, Patrick Ewing didn't get to hold the trophy, but I'm talking about New York City. You know what I mean? Like the entire Northwest, Portland and Seattle. Like, it's millions and millions of people were just looking at Michael Jordan. You can't hate him because he was so good, but you kind of had to hate him because year after year after year, he was just that. He was keeping you from your parade, keeping you and your homeboys from watching your team in the finals.
It really hurt my feelings. And so if you think about it, from 2000, so here's a history lesson, everybody. And this is after Bill Russell, ultimate dominance, 11 and 13 years. And not ring counting, but all of these players have the points, the rebounds, the assists, the All-NBA, the All-Star, the accolades, the gold medals. Like, all of these guys have that. So now let's start to separate. In the 80s, what Magic played 10 seasons. He won 5 championships with Kareem, who had won one prior, playing with the Big O in Milwaukee. Bird won 3. They were anchored or bookmarked by Dr. J winning one earlier in the decade and Isaiah winning one later in the decade. Now, if you graduate to the 90s, that's the Jordan era. Bookend by Isaiah and the Bad Boys in the 90s, Tim Duncan in 99, interrupted by Hakeem Olajuwon twice when Jordan wasn't playing. That's those 10.
Jordan went to play baseball. Yeah.
I'm getting to a point. So now let's go 2000 to 2010. That's Shaq, Kobe, and Tim Duncan. And you know who they were stopping from getting rings? LeBron. That's who they were stopping from getting rings. D-Wade jumped out there and got one. The Pistons in 04 got one. Dirk snuck out there and got him one.
That was J.J. Barea.
But for the most part, they stopped LeBron from getting rings. Now, this is the controversy. From 2010 to 2020, there hasn't been one dominant player to stop people from getting rings. It just hasn't.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Okay, who?
I mean, Steph Curry. And you say, they added KD. Yeah, they added KD.
Who is stopping KD?
James Harden and KD.
He stopped James Harden. That's one. That's a good one.
And stop LeBron.
You can say Russell Westbrook.
You could say LeBron getting a ring, but from getting rings. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say they stopped. The Warriors stopped James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They didn't stop LeBron because he beat him.
Because he got one.
Correct.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
You get my point. From 2010 to 2020, just so everybody knows, while yes, it's been greatness of LeBron for 17 years. I'm watching him play point guard right now. He's killing him. And he's one of the top 4 or 5 players to ever do it. And some people argue he's one of the best. But from 2002 to 2010, the best players in the game haven't done what Jordan did in the 90s or Magic and Bird did in the 80s by stopping other great players that are going to be in the Hall of Fame from getting rings, because the people that are currently on the Hall of Fame track, currently in the league, all got rings except James Harden and Russell Westbrook that have been on contending teams that made it to the conference finals. Unless you want, I could say Portland, but I just don't feel their team wasn't good enough.
No, Portland wasn't. Right? It's not like the Warriors were Portland's only
correct
thing. Yeah, they don't qualify. They don't qualify.
I think that's fair. So let me ask you this question. Let me ask you 3 questions. Who has LeBron or KD stopped from getting rings in this era?
I mean, you could say KD stopped James Harden from getting rings.
Yes, you can.
You can say that. You can say that.
Yep.
I feel like the Rockets. I feel like the Rockets were a championship caliber team. That's when you talk about Portland. That didn't have the championship caliber team to me about it. And then you look at the Eastern Conference and the teams that LeBron went up against most in both times in Cleveland and while with the Heat. It didn't feel like there was a 1A and 1B. It felt like there was a number one and a number two team in that conference the entire time. And the number one team was the team that LeBron James was on because he went to the finals damn near 15 times in a row. So I do feel like, while I think you're correct that LeBron James isn't exactly the sole reason for Hall of Famers not getting rings the way that Michael Jordan is for so many people, I think that's more coincidence. It's also a function of the franchises and the other teams in the conference.
But ever since the Last Dance started,
I've been getting a little jealousy and a little hate from you about LeBron James. I've noticed that because people started talking about, they brought up the GOAT debate again.
And
I've noticed
21.
From you a little bit. I've noticed from you a little bit.
You're like,
you're like hate or jealous.
He just mad because Kobe scored 81 on him, so he want to hate on LeBron. He just a Laker hater. Like, he just mad because LeBron got a school too. He just mad. I ain't mad about nothing. I'm winning at life. If you haven't paid attention, and let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you the distinction. I thought we could celebrate both
LeBron James and Michael Jordan on this show. I thought we could celebrate them both. I thought we could celebrate both great players. I thought we could do that.
So here's the problem. Why do people get so sensitive when everybody doesn't agree that LeBron is the GOAT? Like, I didn't attack his character, Jacoby. I didn't hate on him. I just said where did I say he ranked amongst basketball players?
You said Mount Rushmore consideration because you can never really commit to your Mount Rushmore. As far as you're concerned, Mount Rushmore got like 16 presidents on it. You know,
You
think Mount Rushmore is like a full Last Supper style. Like, they're still carving out some people right now.
No, I don't.
They're on Obama's left cheek right now.
First off, on my list, that's funny. So here's what I got to say. Youngsters, y'all using two words wrong. And just take it from an OG that ain't got nothing to gain from this. I'm winning that life. I love each of you. Y'all using two terms in modern day society really wrong. Snitching and hating. Y'all using those words way wrong. Look at them in a dictionary whenever you get a chance. Snitching ain't, I saw a stranger push down a lady with a gun and snatch her purse and me telling the police. That ain't snitching. Snitching is we both left the house like we about to go rob somebody. They got caught and I didn't and I told. That's snitching. Hating is when it's personal, when it's emotional. When I'm talking about sports and who's the greatest player, it clearly ain't emotional. If it's emotional, I'd be saying Isaiah Thomas is the GOAT. Oh,
you sound kind of emotional right now, actually.
Again, let me tell you the difference. Those great players that MJ went against and he dominated, number one, that's the difference between winning six times in three is more players. Number two, he didn't join up with the other great players in his conference. So let me do this LeBron James exercise for you. All of the future Hall of Famers that LeBron James played against after the Celtics got old and the Bad Boys got old, that were on a trek to be all NBA Hall of Fame players. Derrick Rose got hurt, so the Bulls didn't become that threat. Paul George left Indy, so they didn't become that threat.
No.
Carmelo couldn't lift the Knicks, so they didn't become that threat. And he wouldn't play with Wade and Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
That was everybody in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about Kyle Lowry. I mean, they did get one because KD and Steph got hurt, but you can talk about Kyle Lowry. And, you know, but I don't know if Kyle Lowry's on the same caliber as like a Dwayne Wade or Carmelo Anthony.
No. The Raptors got one because LeBron left the East. And they also got one because KD and Klay got hurt.
KD.
Okay.
That's what happened. I mean, we all know what happened.
Well, shout to T-Dot.
We act like Kawhi Leonard is like single handedly is just winning championships in every team he goes to. You know right. what I mean? It's like it really like, did help that a couple of top 10 players of all time got hurt.
it
did help.
You know,
it did help a lot.
So again, LeBron is a fantastic player, but there's a reason why you're watching this Jordan doc and people that got a chance to see him play understand that there's only one NBA GOAT, Michael Jeffrey, Air Jordan.
I don't know why you're always hating, Jalen.
Hating. Hate.
We'll be back tomorrow. Hey, why is that? Jalen Anthony Rose.
We're not done.